Hello and welcome to the 16th episode of the Mongolog Podcast. My name is John, the sole host of this podcast. Just a little introduction for newcomers. This is a 15 to 30 minute manga specific podcast. It's weekly. I try to keep it beginner friendly, family friendly, and the main goal is just to, in hopes that you'll find a manga that you're interested in, maybe find your new favorite series. I try to introduce the series with minimal to no spoilers, just so you can experience the story for yourself. And yeah, I generally try to tackle a new series each week, usually releasing, I've been consistent, at least these past few weeks, about releasing these episodes on a Friday. Can't always guarantee it will be a Friday, but right now it is. And yeah, I actively encourage community participation. It definitely helps break up the monotony of me talking. My highest preference would be if people send in audio through the Anchor app, which I know is available on, I think, any device, whether that's iOS or Android, or I don't even know if, do they still have Windows phones? I'm sure it was on there when it was active. I don't know if it still is. Yeah. So, around this time, I would usually do community questions or just general community questions or feedback. I haven't received any yet, but it's all cool. It's all cool. I do want to shout out my two new followers since last week. The first person is Save Me From This Hell at LoverGirl_Lynn. Thank you very much for the follow. And the second new follower that I've had on Twitter is the Taiku Podcast at Taiku Podcast. They are a monthly sports manga podcast. I was listening to them a while ago. It's been a while. I've kind of fallen behind on their releases. At the time I wasn't reading a lot of manga, let alone sports manga. But I did enjoy the episodes that I have listened to of theirs, and they also have these little movie episodes, which I really enjoy. They're usually pretty long, but I'm a huge fan of film, so I definitely enjoy those episodes. I think that's actually one of their most recent episodes was one of their film episodes, or they're in the process of releasing it. I know they just recently recorded it. They announced that on Twitter. But yeah, check them out. That's the Taiku Podcast, especially if you're a fan of sports manga specifically. That would definitely be a nice compliment, you know, to your podcast listening. If you found your way into the manga sphere through me, because I haven't really covered any sports manga yet, and hopefully this isn't picking up. But my dogs are grooming themselves, so if you hear licking and sniffling in the background, it's my dog. Anyways, so yeah, thanks again for the two new follows. Really appreciate it, especially when I get follows from podcasts that I listen to. It always makes me happy that, other people that are doing this are acknowledging my existence. It's really cool. Speaking of which, I'll get into that soon, actually. So this episode is on Battle Angel Alita. And this is a name you probably heard circulating around this time because James Cameron just released a live-action adaptation of the manga series. And it's not doing too well in theaters, and critically it's being panned. But the people that have seen the movie have said mostly nothing but positive. So the fan reaction and the critic reaction are two very different things. They can't be any more split. But I have yet to see the movie. Part of what encouraged me to check out the manga was because I want to see the movie, because I want to support it, especially because it's adapting a manga series, and for the most part, it seems like it's a fan pleaser. So I definitely want to encourage more live action adaptations of this quality to be released in the future, and it would be awesome if Alita gets a sequel movie. But yeah. So it's Battle Angel Alita. The original creator, author, illustrator is Yukito Kishiro. And this is pretty much all he's known for. He has several iterations of Alita, including, I think, a prequel manga and a sequel manga. Or maybe it's a sequel manga and then there's a sequel to that sequel manga that's a prequel story. I have no idea. I try to like kind of like gauge what exactly they were about without spoiling myself. It was kind of hard. So yeah, so basically all you need to know, there's three manga series, I think, but I'm covering the original, the first one, so no worries about that, not to confuse you guys. So yeah, one of those sequel manga he's currently working on, actually. He started a series after Alita called Aqua Knight, and he put that on hiatus until he was, because he wanted to finish Alita first. He's going on 51 years old. I'm hoping he does finish Alita, because I'm going to look forward to continuing the series, and I want to read it in full. And then definitely check out this other series. It's got Aqua Knight, because it's published by Viz in English. If you guys are curious, I think there's three volumes out of Aqua Knight. Excuse the sniffles. I don't know. Allergies, sickness. I have no idea anymore. It's like some days I wake up feeling great. Some days I wake up like, ugh. Anyways. So Alita is a, Battle Angel Alita, or Alita Battle Angel, or Gunum, how it's known in Japan, is a cyberpunk, post-apocalyptic sci-fi. So it's a part of the seinen demographic. So that's a middle-aged man. No, not middle-aged men. I should say like young men, probably in 20s, or maybe higher teens. It published originally in a seinen magazine called Business Jump, specifically aimed toward businessmen ages 20 through 30. It published from 1990 to 1995. The magazine has since been defunct. It stopped publishing in 2011, which I see is a regular occurrence with seinen magazines. I'm guessing they don't capture, seinen manga are generally less well known, less talked about. Whereas like shonen, on the other hand, you know, the big wigs, like Naruto and stuff, they kind of like take the forefront of like people's attention. So it's kind of sad that magazines like that go extinct, but not extinct, but you know what I'm talking about, that they go defunct. It's just reality. I looked at the magazine, the other manga listed there that published. I didn't really recognize any of them. Just goes to show how, how well promoted some seinen manga are. not very. So it's published in English by Kodansha. And if you guys listen to the episode I recorded last week, I mentioned that I purchased Kodansha's Humble Bundle. Was super excited because I got so much manga from it for a very low price. Battle Angel Alita was one of the series. I got the first three volumes. I only read the first two. That's all I had time for, really. And to be honest, I was pushing aside other responsibilities so that I could read those two volumes. Not exactly the most effective when it comes to managing my time. Some weeks I'm on top of the ball, but other weeks it's just like, ugh. So apparently what I read has been adapted into a 1993 anime. It's like a two-parter, and yeah, it covers those first two volumes. So if you're curious, you happen to have also read the first two volumes, you can check out the anime adaptation. I don't know if it's legally streaming anywhere. I probably should have researched that for you guys, or if it's available for purchase. But yeah, if you're curious, especially with the movie out now. The movie, James Cameron's movie, apparently covers the first four volumes. And from what I've read, volumes 3 and 4 of Alita cover another arc, like a new arc called, or I don't know if it's called the Motorball arc, but apparently there's this big thing called Motorball that's prominent in volumes 3 and 4. But yeah, Battle Angel Alita is about a female cyborg named Alita. Well, she's given that name by a doctor named Ito. He finds her in a scrapyard. I think just her head. He brings her back home, basically starts slowly rebuilding her with like not makeshift parts, but like old spare parts. Basically turns her into a full-bodied human-looking cyborg. I don't know if they're alluding that she was human before or what, but he was able to like resuscitate her, so I'm guessing she wasn't dead I'm not sure exactly how she was surviving when she was just a head, but I don't know. But I'm not going to question it because this is the future. So who knows how science and stuff works, or maybe just common sense. But yeah, so he finds her, he rebuilds her. She has no memories of her past. And that's basically what this manga, that's the starting point. It's just like, she's on this journey of self-discovery. It raises a lot of questions that you typically find in a manga that has this sort of, or any sort of media that has this kind of material when there's like cyborgs and AI that exists. It's like, well, if you're following it from the perspective of an AI or cyborg or whatever, there's always a question that arises, like, what is human? Or what is, like, what makes a human, you know? So you get that question a lot. You know, it might have been more of an original idea back then, and, you know, when this originally was publishing in 1990, but now you've seen it done time and time again, over and over. Yeah, so Alita, she's on this journey of self-discovery. One of the things that that's kind of lures her in is the idea of being a hunter. And a hunter in this world is kind of like, I guess, the police force. Like, they kind of enforce the law. Or really, they're hunting for, they're bounty hunters. There's criminal activity is rampant in this world. And hunters, criminals will get a bounty on their head. Hunters will find out about the bounty and hunt them down and get paid for it. Usually the people that they're hunting down are like, you know, also cyborgs, and they sell their parts for, you know, they turn in their parts for money, stuff like that. Not always the case, but yeah, there's a lot of trading and selling of parts, whether that's like human limbs or, you know, cyborg parts. But yeah, so she's drawn to this idea of being a hunter. She ends up becoming one, and then you just kind of follow her exploits as a hunter, or a huntress, and in her case, I guess. So it's a really interesting world that Kishiro has established here. It's a cyberpunk story, so it's a future that's not quite the future. Like, it's not the future that you might be envisioning when you think of, like, the natural progression of things, assuming, like, we don't go through, like, nuclear war or something. But, like, it's not that clean, pristine, golden age of technological advancement. It's not that kind of story. This world feels very run down, gross, just dirty. It feels like they're living in, like, the slums of this universe. It's very... like, the world itself is very, it's not happy. It doesn't give off this happy vibe. It doesn't feel like the future that gets you excited. It's considered a post-apocalyptic story. I'm not sure how the world came to be what it is yet. They haven't really gotten into the lore of the world that much. They have established a lot of rules on how the world works now, but they didn't really explain how it's come to be this way. I think really that's the basic setup. Alita's on this journey of self-discovery. She becomes a hunter. You kind of witness her taking on these jobs, interacting with new characters. A lot of shady people come into play. You know, you've got like this guy that runs, you know, is big in the black market. You've got other hunters that are kind of antagonistic towards Alita. Other characters get introduced that become friends with Alita or more. And then you kind of deal with maybe people that are after those people, and that Alita has to protect, you know. And then there's, of course, the Dr. Ito. He has, like, this, I guess, father-daughter relationship with Alita. He becomes kind of like a non-figure in the second volume. He's kind of like a background character. But, yeah, he still exists, so he's worth mentioning. I mean, he's the one that brought her to life. I'm trying to think. So... I guess getting into just, like, the art, that's generally where I like to go when I'm talking about these. One thing that I noted, again, there's a lot of cyborgs. It's a cyberpunk future, sci-fi. So you get these weird character designs, like, really strange. Like, some cyborgs will be, you know, mostly cybernetic. So, like, they might have some biological organs, like a brain. There's a lot of emphasis on brain. Like, you're in this world, if you die, like if you get like dismembered, you're technically not dead as long as your brain is still intact. You can be revived through like, you know, cybernetic transplants. So it's a there's a big emphasis, I think, even on the notes in the back of the manga, like where they just kind of give you little details about the lore. One of the things is like one of the laws, if in this world, I think it was considered a class B offense or something like that. I can't remember. But like destroying somebody's brain, like emphasis on the brain, not murdering somebody, but like destroying their brain. That's they emphasize the fact that you have to destroy their brain, or like tampering with somebody's brain or something like that. Like just things that involve the brain. So apparently, as long as it's like a zombie, as long as you, the brain is still intact, you can still, you're technically still alive. So there's a lot of dismemberment in this manga. Yeah, you don't see a ton of death unless you see somebody's like head get crushed or brain gets, you know, sliced or in half or something. Yeah, in case you haven't realized, it's, the manga is pretty violent. There is, but if it's weird, okay, so there's like this tonal dissonance where like it feels very campy. So like you're seeing people get destroyed, and like cyborgs getting just like demolished, right? But like it feels super cartoony in a way, even though like you're getting like sprays of blood and like, you know, you'll there's some points where you see a character's insides. It's not pretty, but this, but at the same time, okay, so I'm kind of getting into the writing and the art. They kind of go hand in hand. At the same time, you have this writing, which feels very, I don't know if it's the translation or what, but it feels very aged. Like, it feels very cheesy. I was listening to the Manga Machinations podcast. They have, their newest episode is on the Battle Angel Alita movie, by James Cameron. And, one of the hosts was making a comment about how certain parts of the movie just feel extra corny. And if that's the case, then that's definitely a faithful, adaptation of the manga, because I'm totally getting that feel from the manga as well. Just like weird, like just cartoonishly evil bad guys with like kind of poorly revealed backstories and attempt to make you like sympathize with them, but they're like mustache twirlingly evil. Like the first antagonist that gets introduced in the first volume, it's like they try to make you sympathize with him, like he's got this dramatic backstory, but like I don't sympathize with him because he's just too cartoonishly evil. Like it's super cheesy. Like there's all, and it's really the dialogue that gets me, man. It's like they'll just have these like really just bad one-liners, and I could just picture like in English voice cast for this, just like having that weird like Speed Racer dialogue, like, oh my god, could it be that he's in love with, I'm sorry, I'm like flashing back to one of the scenes in the manga. You guys have no context for what I'm saying unless you've started reading this, but it's just like really weird. And it has like this shonen style action delivery, so like there's a lot of action in this manga, and if you're into action, you'll probably enjoy this. Like if you're just into like watching cyborgs get ripped apart, and you like the cheesy action movie, like with a capital A, like action, I think you'll definitely enjoy Alita. But it's just super, it's super campy, it's super cheesy. Like the shonen style action delivery that I'm talking about is like they'll be describing their moves as they're doing them, or like, or they just did something miraculous and they have to describe how they got to that point, like what, or you know, or they're about to do something, it's like, oh, here comes my super bad, like, I don't know, freaking five-finger death punch. Like they'll just start like announcing what they're about to do, or they'll yell out these move names, like this is like a shonen, like Shadow Clone Jutsu, but not like, you know, not to that extent, because, but you know, like the antagonist will yell out his name that he just I feel like he just came up with on the spot, because it's like this is not an established thing. These guys are literally naming their attacks. It's not like in Naruto where there's names for these jutsu. It's like this is a whole different, you know, this is a whole different thing. Like that's like if Alita, like, I don't know, like grabbed a knife and sliced a dude in half, and she's like called it Next Slicing 3000, and like just named it for no reason. That's what it felt like. So yeah, so the line delivery isn't great. The action, at least, like, you know, the dialogue during the action isn't great, but like the drawings are really cool. Like I really like the character designs. I like Alita. She looks really cool. They do a good job of making her seem like super awesome, but almost to the point where I can't take her seriously, because it's like she's supposed to be like, especially this point where, okay, there's a point in the manga where she gets like this new body, like an upgrade, if you will. And she, it kind of changes her personality a bit. Like, she's more confident. She's more like, wow, look how awesome she is. Like, but it's so, because like, you can tell that that's what the author is doing. And he's having a good old time. He's like, isn't this girl great? Isn't Alita awesome? Like, look at her. She's so cool, right? She's got like this black, like, spandex looking outfit. She looks like Catwoman or something. And she's like just flying through the air and whipping her legs around. And it's just like so funny, because like, I could tell like the author's like really full of it. Like, he's all in. Like, it's just like, but I can't take her seriously. And like, she'll like, it's like, okay. It's like, take Batman, at like, you know, those scenes where like the superhero standing at the edge of the city, or like on top of edge of a skyscraper and staring down at the city in the dark, and their cape is like blowing through the wind. That's what it feels like. But like, take away like the, I guess the drama, and add like, I don't know, like just cheesy. Like, cheesy is like, this is so super cheesy. And I hope nobody like disagrees with me. I don't want to like offend anybody that actually like took this, is taking, like, takes this story very seriously and is really in love with writing. I personally just like, I couldn't, it's fun to read. I like it. It's fun to read. I blazed through these two volumes pretty quick. It's definitely a quicker read than some of the other reads I've done for this podcast. But yeah, it was capital A action, capital C camp. It does pick up in the second volume. They start introducing some new characters, a romantic interest. You get a little bit more development from Alita. It's weird how her personality changes. Like, in the first volume, she's like super, you know, I'm trying to refrain from using any like cuss words. I don't even cuss, but like, the only way I could explain it is using a specific word, but like, super awesome. Let's just call that. Okay. BA. That's what I'm trying to say. But anyways, that's so weird keeping this family friendly. But yeah, but then she turns into like this, she's like staring wistfully in the distance, like admiring this character and his drive and his dreams and sense of wonder about this world that exists in the sky. So another thing they introduce in the second volume is that there's this city that takes place, or the city that takes place. There's a city in the air, Skypiea. Is that from One Piece? I don't even know. There's a city in the air, and one of the characters dreams of getting there someday by raising money, and somebody's going to take him there. And like, Alita just falls in love with this dude for, I don't know, literally no reason. But anyways, and then it's like super, it's a super like rushed romance. I have to admit, it still got me. Like, oh, this is interesting. Okay, they're throwing a romance into the mix. Like, I'm following this. Like, I like Alita as a character, and it's kind of cute to see her like, you know, falling head over heels for this dude. Yeah, it's just, the way it's executed, it's just so funny to me. I don't know. I really hate to, like, I feel like I'm really, like, being a downer on this, or, like, really, criticizing this dude's writing, but it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just the time, maybe it was the time that it was written in, I don't know. But that's, I can't even say that, because I read, like, Osamu Tezuka, it's like, Ota Kirito, and that was, like, written, you know, around the same time, maybe even earlier than that, but it felt like it was more grounded than Alita was. whereas this just feels like a B movie action. What else? So I talked about the world a little bit, the type of world that he's established, the writing, the art, the action. Another thing about the action, the thing is, like, it's kind of like, there's some great standalone panels, but like, when the action's flowing from one panel to the next, it's kind of, so the same thing that I've complimented some previous manga for, like Boruto, say what you will about Boruto, but I thought like the choreography and like the way action flows out on the page in like Boruto, and even like Dragon Ball, that's another thing I complimented Dragon Ball on, and One Piece. A lot of shonen do this surprisingly well, go figure. Shonen battle manga are good at doing battle, are good at drawing and conveying battle for the most part. Whereas Alita, I had a hard time following some of the action. Like, she's hopping around a lot, and I can tell she's doing like quick movements based on the way Kishiro is drawing her. But I can't always follow how like one part of her body travels to another. You know, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, how she gets from one point to the next. Like, she'll be moving through the air, and she'll be tilting her body and also grabbing onto her enemy. And then in the next panel, like, the enemy's being launched, or like his arm got crushed or something. But I don't know how, like, it doesn't flow. It kind of like feels like it jump cuts to the next part of her movement and not necessarily this like fluid motion. I mean, it's a small complaint. Like I, for the most part, it's just like whatever. And I just kind of went through it. That's just one note about the action. What else? I did make some notes here for once. So I'm just scrolling through them to make sure that I covered what I wanted to. Wow, this is really good podcast material right here. Okay, so apparently later, like again, I said earlier, Volume 3 and 4 have to deal with this gladiator sport called Motorball, which sounds pretty exciting. I'm definitely going to check out more of this manga, at least to get to that part. It's only 9 volumes. I forgot to mention that. It's only 9 volumes, at least this part of it. I know there's a sequel manga, like I mentioned, but this part, at least, is 9 volumes. So I'm curious, because it did pick up in the second volume. I really enjoyed the second volume thoroughly. The first volume, it took me a little bit to warm up, not going to lie, because it just felt so cheesy. But the second volume I really liked. There were some major developments, and I can kind of see how things are going to go. So it always helps when I know, or and I have an idea of like what the writer is going for. I think that is it for Alita. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm sorry. Thank you guys for listening. For next week's series, I'm going to be doing That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. This is the manga adaptation. This was another one of the manga that I got in the Kodansha Humble Bundle. So it's written by Fuse. They go by Fuse, all caps. Illustrated by Taiki Kawakami. So he's the illustrator, or she, I don't know, is the illustrator for the manga. It does emphasize the fact that the original character designs are by someone named Mitzvah, and I can immediately think like Bar Mitzvah. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but yeah, Mitzvah, they did the original character designs for the light novels, and those same designs carry over for the manga, and I'm assuming that's the same character design that they use for the anime adaptation. So if you're a fan of the anime adaption or the light novel character designs, well, the same designs exist in the manga. And I'm assuming Taiki is either using those as reference or he does everything else except for the characters. I don't know how it works. But yeah, so That Time I Got Reincarnated as Slime, written by Fuse. I'll be covering that next week, the manga adaptation. And look forward to it. Thanks again for the follows on Twitter. Again, if you have any feedback, just check the description for this episode, all the ways to contact me. I'm not going to like shamelessly plug everything every single time, but just a reminder, you know, if you have any of your own impressions about Alita, or if you have any, you know, thing you want to prep for, The Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime, go ahead and either read ahead, or if you've coming from the anime, then yeah, just give me your impressions, whatever, like things to look forward to. I would appreciate it. Thanks again for Manga Machinations. They recently shouted me out on their Alita episode. Wow, sneezing. That's great podcast material. thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it. And again, for those that are listening to me, if you're not already listening to them, please let's check them out. They do this a lot better than I do, and they've been doing it for a lot longer than I have. So if you thought this Alita discussion was interesting, then definitely check them out. They talk more about the manga and also the movie in their most recent episode. All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.